Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo, the best Nintendo podcast on the internet. I am solo, as you can probably tell. It's just some scheduling issues that happened when we were trying to put together the retro show. Wes was not going to be available on the regular record night, and I did not want to talk about The Emperor's New Groove without him. So I am going to do a short little solo show here, not on any retro topic, but on games that were recently announced. There was a Nintendo Indie Direct, and I'm not going to talk about every single game that was talked about there, just kind of the ones that I found more interesting. And there are also a number of other game announcements that have happened over the course of the past few weeks that I thought would be worth bringing up and chatting about for a few minutes. So, away we go. New game announcements. First up, 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim was announced for the Switch. It's coming to the Nintendo handheld home console hybrid on April the 12th of 2022. And this is also this is a hybrid game itself. It's a sort of adventure RTS. Looks like it leans pretty heavily into some visual novel elements, doing a lot of storytelling, which isn't typically my sort of game, ones that are really heavily focused on the narrative. This was developed by Vanillaware, who are finally bringing a game to a Nintendo system. They were totally absent. I don't think they've had a single Switch game till this one. They were totally absent on Wii U. They had a game or two back on the Wii, Muramasa Demon Blade, but they are a developer who I've always really liked the visual style and the sort of like the hand-drawn artwork that they do in their games. And all they always look really, really nice. It's being published by Atlas in North America here. This is a port. It originally released back on PS4 back in September of 2020. So you've probably heard of this one before. Reviewed up pretty well. Currently has an 85 overall Metacritic score. So really positive reviews on this one back when it came out. And like all other Vanillaware games, like I mentioned, really nice visual style. Vanillaware always has really great art direction, and it looks to also be the case with 13 Sentinels. I did watch some gameplay of this one. Most of the RTS fights look kind of similar to a tower defense, actually, where it looks like waves of enemies are coming into the field of play, and you are moving and positioning your mechs in order to intercept the attacks, these waves of enemies. And there are different types of mechs that you are bringing into the fight, like doing like a loadout pre-fight. And you're using different types of attacks that have different, like, different ranges and areas of effect for the different attacks. But it's a really cool looking game. A pretty substantial game too. How long to beat has it at about like 30, 35 hours to get through? I may get it. I'm interested in this one. But I would need to know the sort of ratio of, you know, visual novel to RTS gameplay in there before I take the plunge and invest time into a lot of storytelling. So we'll see. This one goes in the maybe pile. Also announced for the Nintendo Switch, and I think this is a multi-platform one, but Sonic Frontiers is coming out holiday of 2022 as of recording here. This was announced at some award show that they did. I don't know. It didn't seem important. But it looks like, or I guess it's being discussed as an open world Sonic. And let's face it, if that's the case, there's no way that's going to work. I think that there's too many design issues with the general philosophy and what people want out of a Sonic game to have an open world really work. I don't know if there is any positive buzz about this game to this point. I don't know if we're fully into the Sonic cycle just yet, but come on, Sega, you can't fool me with nice looking open environments and trailer moments. And some of these trailer moments, one in particular, is very deliberately derivative of Breath of the Wild, where, you know, Sonic is standing on the rock and goes out and like has this big vista in front of him, like this panoramic view of the world around him. And you know, going back to my original point, I don't know for sure that there's even confirmation that this is an open world game. We might just be dealing with like big zones, like Monster Hunter Rise or Pokemon Legends Arceus. So I don't know that this would be open world. I don't think that a Sonic game would work in open world, and I don't have any reason to believe that Sega would be able to prove me wrong, because Sega seems incapable of making a decent Sonic game. But, so, as you may have guessed, this one is a no, a hard no on Sonic Frontiers. I will not be interested in playing this one in the slightest. Persona 4 Arena Ultimax is coming to the Switch on March 17th of 2022. This is a fighting game starring the characters from Persona 3 and 4. And it was originally released way back in November of 2013 in arcades, and later got a port to the PS3 and Xbox 360. This one also reviewed pretty positively with a 85 overall Metacritic score. And, you know, rumors are still, you know, out in the ether about Persona 3, 4, and 5 coming to Switch at some point. We'll see. I think this is a pretty disappointing debut for the spinoff of SMT. Oh, actually, quick correction. It's not the first entry of the Persona, I guess, spinoff franchise. Persona 5 Strikers came out earlier this year on Switch. So this is the second Persona game, and neither of them have been like a mainline like RPG Persona game. And, you know, by most reviews, by most accounts, this is a pretty solid fighting game. Everyone has wanted Persona 5 on Switch for so long now that, you know, any sort of announcement of, you know, a Persona fighting game or Persona dancing game or Persona action game is going to be immediately, like, followed up with the sentiment of, like, okay, but when is the RPG Persona coming over? And, you know, I ask those questions because I have them myself. It'd be really nice to see, you know, Persona 5, Persona 4 Golden, you know, these really lengthy, meaty RPGs coming over to Switch. But I will say, Shin Megami Tensei 5 is really fucking good. Like, really, really good. I took a few days off and I got back into it yesterday and just immediately, like, jumped back in with, like, my wandering and sort of, like, my loot grinding and trying to fuse demons together and really keep up with maximizing the potential for all the ones in my party and then looking where I can fuse them and get the best combinations to pass down the best skills. It is a really fucking good RPG. And I'm at a point where, you know, if this was a different RPG, if this was a Persona RPG, I would be way outclassing the enemies that I'd be encountering, like the bosses and stuff. But the game is so well balanced that even like minor bosses or mini bosses that I'm encountering, still, like I still have to use some level of strategy to get through them. I can't just go in there, arms swinging, and take things down really easily. The game is so well balanced in that way. And I did pick up Persona 5 because I have not finished that one yet, and I burned out on it so quickly. Like, this Persona 5 was a game that I was playing, like, through chunks of it throughout the entire year of 2021 so that I wouldn't get burnt out, and it still ended up happening on this cruise ship dungeon that is very close to the end. And God, that dungeon just got so discouraging because the things that I would like about previous dungeons with, you know, puzzle solving and just sneaking around doing stealth attacks, they just have gotten so long in the tooth at this point that, you know, I've totally disengaged from the story. I don't care anymore. And it makes it tough to deal with these very long dungeons when I really just want to get to the end. So, I'm still overall very positive on Persona 5. I think that if I was playing that game with a different mindset where I wasn't also playing through, like, Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Pokemon and have all these other RPGs on my plate, I'd probably be very in a different spot with that game. So I don't want to judge it too harshly. But for the couple of hours that I jumped back into Persona 5, I just wanted to get back to Shin Megami Tensei 5. So, overall verdict, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, this is also going to be a no for me. I'm not interested in having a fighting game. Redout 2 was announced for Switch coming in 2022. This is a futuristic racer. Since everyone seems to want to make a new F-Zero now, they're getting in on it too. This is the prequel game. The first one came back in May of 2019 on Switch. And it was released, I think, a couple years before that on other consoles. But this one looks to be day and date with other systems so far. There's no hard release date. It's just for everything is 2022 right now. It also has a new publisher, Saber Interactive, as opposed to Nicholas and 505 Games, who published the first one. But yeah, this is kind of what you expect to see out of an F-Zero clone. It looks really nice. It has like these wide tracks that do like these crazy curves and turns and stuff. It moves really fast. Racing games aren't really my thing, so this one goes in the no pile for now, but I think it's at least something worth keeping an eye on if racing games are your thing. Figment 2 Creed Valley is coming to Switch in February of 2022. This one was announced at the Indie Direct, and is an isometric-ish action game. They are super proud of the music in this game. Like, they have these pop rock songs that are happening, like, as your adventuring music, your background music. And they seem to be very proud of the work they've done there. I watched a bit of gameplay. They really need to do something about the other sound effects in this game. There are like these grunts in the gameplay, like as actions are being taken, that are super annoying, and they need to do something about that. So, and it also looks to move a little bit slowly as well. We'll see, like, if this game gets optimized and moves a little bit more fluidly. The art style is fine. I don't think it was anything too tremendous, but it was at least a bit distinct from other things we've seen on the Switch. I had like this almost like Wind Waker-ish like smoke effect that was chasing the character around that you had to avoid, because if you entered the smoke, you were taking damage. But anyway, we'll see how this one all shapes out. This one's most likely a no from me. I don't know. Those it's kind of petty, but those grunts really don't seem like the sort of thing that I'd be willing to tolerate in a action game like this. I mean, especially after I just finished today Death's Door, which I really liked, and that's a similar in very broad strokes in the way that they're both just these top-down, like sort of fusion between like a top-down isometric action game. But the combat in Death's Door just seems like it's going to be so much more fluid than in Figment 2. I also really dug the sort of lateral puzzle solving that you were able to do. I don't think it ever really got as complex as something like a Zelda, which this game has drawn a lot of comparisons to, which is fine. I don't think it needed to be. I think that the level of complexity they were going with their puzzles and their sort of environmental traversal pathfinding and puzzle solving, I think was really smart. I think it really encouraged like this really like slow, subdued gameplay style where it was encouraging you to take things slow and sort of poke at the walls and see what kind of secrets you could discover. It wasn't like super packed with secrets. There wasn't things around every turn, but it was really fun to just like discover things and upgrades and just like little trinkets that are just like on a collectible screen. I really ended up enjoying Death's Door, and I think like the really like methodical traversal and puzzle solving really contrasted well with the boss fights, which really weren't, it wasn't frantic, but it really had like a kinetic energy to it that felt really good for something that was basically like just pattern recognition. Like most bosses are doing maybe 3 or 4 different types of attacks that'll cycle through, and learning the bosses and knowing what they're going to do and when and how they're going to react to you made it really rewarding to, you know, lose to them a few times and then win without taking much damage. I think similar to Metroid Dread, they did a really great job of having this boss fight balance between something that could be difficult, but once you figure out what exactly the boss was doing and how they were going to act and attack you, then it got a lot more manageable. Where was I? Grime is coming to Switch in 2022. This is a Metroid-style game. It came out in August of this year on PC. I watched a bit of the gameplay. I don't know. It looks fine. It's got like this grotesque art style to it. I don't think it was anything super special. But, you know, they're not at the kids' table anymore. You know, they're making a Metroid-style game where Metroid Dread is already out. So it's going to be very difficult for them to stand out and achieve that same level of quality that you get out of a Metroid Dread, which is a tremendous game. So, I don't know. This one is also most likely a pass for me. Another one that they announced at the Indie Direct just the other day was Alicia, the Oblivion of the Twin Goddesses. This one's coming to Switch in 2022 in the summer. And this is a Switch exclusive for now. This is a really cool looking co-op adventure game. It looks like they're attempting to use a lot of the hardware features on Switch. They talked about, you know, switching back and forth between characters and sometimes having to use, you know, touchscreen or gyro controls. I think it's pretty ambitious when games try to use a lot or most or all of the hardware features of any particular system. I think a lot of times games like that can get caught in the weeds and trying to come up with gimmicks for how to use all of the different features. But who knows? You know, maybe they'll be able to pull it off. I think it's a neat idea. I dig the ambition out of a small indie project like this. Hopefully it's good. I'll probably give it a try when it comes out. See how it is. Another game that they talked about in the Indie Direct, and another one that's also coming out in summer of 2022, according to the Steam page, is Locomotive. It is a point-and-click style adventure game that uses 2D pixel art. You know, I really dig trains as settings in games. I think it's really fun, like having this confined space that can have some really ornate, you know, visual design to it. This one is a bit reminiscent of a game called The Last Express, but with a lighter tone. And The Last Express was a point-and-click adventure game that came out, oh geez, it must have been in the earlier mid-90s. But it was a game where you were on a train, and you, when you get on the train, you realize that your friend had, you discover your friend's body had been murdered. So you're sort of assuming his role on the train, and people think you look enough alike, and you're trying to solve the murder of your friend in order to, you know, get justice or something like that. But the plot sort of unravels this, like an arms deal that was going down that your friend was involved in, and there are, like, different factions that are sort of contributing to the lead up of World War One. It is a game, I think I probably talked about on this podcast a while back, because I was never able to figure it out of the sort of path you need to take, what characters you had to interact with and when in order to keep momentum going. Because if you weren't doing it was time-based. If you weren't doing the right things at the right times, talking to the right people, solving the right puzzles, having the right interactions, then you would your identity would be uncovered, you'd be thrown off the train, you'd be killed. There a bunch of different things could happen to you. But you're basically just trying to keep the story moving forward until you got to the end. But anyway, that's The Last Express. Locomotive looks to have a much lighter tone. Silly characters having silly animations, probably doing silly things. Leaning much more into the jokes, you know, because murder is super fucking funny. But anyway, I'm not sure if I'll get around to this one. You know, I'm interested. I'll put it on my wish list and see where things go when it comes out. Dungeon Munchies is another one that they talked about at the Indie Direct. This one got shadow dropped just after the Direct, so this one is out. It looks like a roguelike, like looter platformer, where you are collecting parts from monsters that you're killing and stuff, and you're cooking them, and they're giving you buffs. I am not 100% certain if those buffs are permanent. I would think that some of them would be. Like, there's one of the first things they showed is like I think it's a fried mosquito, but it gives you a double jump and that sort of thing. Like, it looks like it would be a permanent upgrade, but there are things about this game where I'm not entirely certain, and I couldn't really find any definitive information about how the game is designed. So it looks like it would be a roguelike, but I can't find any confirmation of things like procedurally generated levels. And if they were actually, you know, bespoke crafted levels, I would be really interested in this game. I also don't know how they handle things like death. There is a short little moment at the start of the trailer where, you know, your character is getting resurrected. You're like a zombie. So I don't know if dying is going to reset any of the sort of power-ups or buffs that you have, or if, you know, buffing yourself up by collecting this loot and finding the right combinations to cook it together gives you like these permanent upgrades. I'd also be much more interested in the game if there were things that were permanent, if not everything. But anyway, that's something where I'll stick it on a wish list, and if I can get some more confirmation about what the game actually is, it might be something I get out around to at some point, because I like the pixel art. The end of December has been, you know, surprisingly loaded with these interesting, smaller and independent games. So when we get to our year in review, it's going to be interesting to peer back on December and look at all of the interesting, noteworthy stuff that came out in this month. And next up is Omori. That was one that, again, that they talked about at the Nintendo Indie Direct. This one originally released on December 25th of last year on PC. Reviewed really well. It has a 87 Metacritic score. It is an Earthbound-inspired JRPG with a party system and turn-taking battles. And like a lot of these, you know, Earthbound-inspired JRPGs, it has a whimsical but grounded style. It's got a top-down view outside of battle. They show a lot of, like, exploring around through towns and talking with, you know, everyday people, as opposed to all these like different sort of monsters or fantastical types of encounters that you get with like things like royalty and stuff, and a lot of like the fantasy-inspired RPGs. When you get into a fight, it shifts to a first-person view, like almost a portrait view of the characters you're fighting, and you have like the little icons of your own characters down at the bottom of the screen, and you're selecting, you know, your attacks, your skills, and snacks and stuff. It has an interesting-looking sort of like status ailment or buff-debuff system that are based on emotions. So using certain types of attacks will give, you know, other party members, other people in the battle, different emotion statuses. And that will affect how they're able to perform in the battle. So I think like the emotions that were shown were like angry, sad, and happy. And if you're angry, your attack goes up, but your defense goes down. And if you are happy, your speed goes up, but your accuracy goes down. So it's going to be interesting to see how that will affect the way that you are choosing moves in a fight. So maybe, you know, you're not using the thing that's going to give you, you know, optimal damage to an opponent, but you're using something that's going to, you know, make your next party members' attacks or more effective, or skills more effective, because they're, you know, afflicted by a certain emotion buff or debuff. That's going to be really, really interesting, I think. It's a pretty substantial game too. 20 plus hours it was showing on How Long to Beat, so not too shabby there. Well, it looks like it has a lot of style and personality. A price point on Steam was only about $10, and we'll see if the Switch tax will apply, but I think I'm in. I think this game looks pretty cool. After Image is coming to Switch in 2022. It is a super nice looking hand-drawn art style Castlevania game. It is strange that this one hasn't been featured in the Nintendo Direct anywhere, or in an Indie Direct. Even like Nintendo's YouTube channel, there wasn't like an announcement trailer or anything, because I think this is something that, you know, it looks like it fits right in to the type of game that they would want to promote. The platforming, oh, sorry, let me backtrack a little bit. The animations, the character models, the backgrounds, they all look phenomenal. The like foreground and background will scroll at different speeds. Got some parallax scrolling.
I think this is something where, like, visually speaking, is very inspired. I think it has, like, a lot of, they showed a lot of naturalistic environments, which is really cool. It reminded me a bit of Axiom Verge 2, where a lot of the environments were, like, these very natural spaces with a few structures mixed in here and there. I think, well, the difference is that Axiom Verge 2 was much more pixel art, where really nice pixel art. The game looked really, really good. Whereas After Image is going for, like, the more, like, animated look out of the game. But the platforming doesn't look particularly inspired, and maybe they're just showing early areas. And, you know, like, Castlevania and Castlevania-inspired games aren't really particularly great platformers. That's more of like where the Metroid stuff comes in, with like the platform and the exploration. Castlevania games are mostly known for action and like the non-linear exploration, where, you know, you gain the one thing from that boss that you fought to open up the next area. And the platforming is more like rudimentary type stuff, where you're not using like different sorts of jumps and skills in order to reach the next area. I think like the most acrobatic platforming that you do in a Castlevania are sometimes you get a double jump, maybe you'll slide and that will get you to a different area, but the slide, you know, isn't at all that commonly used for things like exploring new areas. But anyway, I digress. After Image, really nice looking game. I'm excited for this one. If it continues to look good, then I'm in. And then Time Loader is another one that was announced for Switch in 2022, but not featured by Nintendo anywhere, which is a shame because I think this game looks kind of interesting. It released on PC in November of this year, and it's a short little puzzle platformer, only 2 to 3 hours, and you play as this little robot dude, and the sort of premise is you are sending this robot into the past, and you solve these traversal puzzles in order to change things in the future. And the trailer led me to believe that there would be like some flipping back and forth. You change something in the past, find the way to like move back into the future so you can progress a little bit more on that side, and have this like light and dark world thing going on where things you do in the past will change how far you can get in the future, which I think would be really interesting. That might not be the case. It might just sort of affect the ending because the game is so short, but you know, we'll see. I think it looks really interesting. This game is definitely on my radar. And last up, we do have some release date updates for a few games. River City Girls 2, they showed at the Indie Direct again. This one's coming out in summer of 2022, so they did narrow down the release date a little bit more as opposed to just a vague 2022. So somewhere like July, August, September, maybe, probably, we'll see. I am super pumped for this game. It looks really good. It's still got the really great pixel art visuals to it. A couple of extra playable characters that they showed in the Indie Direct. Music looks like it's going to be really good. All of the new areas that they showed, like the wall climbing, and it looked like there was like this arboretum or something that they're moving around in. This game looks really, really... Oh, there's like new maneuvers, and it looks like they might have some more synergy between the characters, where like one character holds an enemy and the other one just beats the shit out of them. I don't know. I don't remember if that was in the original River City Girls a couple years back. I don't remember correctly. But, oh, yeah, then there's a combo counter. There's a combo counter, which, you know, I'm a sucker for that sort of thing, trying to make the counter go up to get the highest possible praise out of the game. But yeah, looks really cool. Day one buy, for sure. I'm 100% on board for this game. River City Girls Zero got delayed into 2022. That was originally announced to be coming out this year. And this one I'll probably end up trying. It is a remaster or a remade or sort of upgraded port of a River City game where the two girls from River City Girls made their debut, why they're calling it River City Girls Zero. It was a game that never came out to North America, so it will be new for us when we finally do get it. Hopefully sooner rather than later, because between River City Girls Zero, River City Girls Two, Ninja Turtles, there are, you know, quite a few beat-em-up games, high-profile beat-em-up games coming to the Switch in 2022. I just hope they don't get clustered together too much. Sea of Stars led the Nintendo Direct. This one is the JRPG-looking game coming from Sabotage Games, which is the developer of The Messenger, a game that I really liked a few years back on Switch. This one's coming out holiday of 2022, so they left quite a bit of a window there. And typically, indie games don't really get that specific when they're that far out. I think there is a chance that this one gets pushed a little bit more just because it is so far away. And, you know, these smaller projects and bigger projects too, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer. But I am super excited for this. Hopefully they are able to get it out holiday of 2022. This is a day one buy. Really nice looking 2D pixel art. The battles are interesting because you have these two playable characters who look like they have like this this light dark dichotomy. One has like sun powers, the other has moon powers, that kind of thing. But they're not the only two characters in battle. There's this third dude that was there, and it looked like he just had like a round wooden like barrel lid shield and like a pot on his head. And I want to know what the fuck that guy's deal is. Is he just like some rando that joins your party that's going to die in a scripted loss at the end of the first dungeon? Is this guy actually going to have an impact on the battles at all? Is he going to secretly be the most powerful character? And like his powers will awaken or something as soon as you get a certain way into the game. What the fuck is going on with him? But like as I was saying, these characters, like they have their skills in battle, they have skills outside of battle, which looks like it's going to have some cool like environmental traversal puzzle solving, which would be really fun. Really excited for Sea of Stars. I think it's going to be really, really good. We got a release date for Ollie Ollie World. That one's coming on February 8th of 2022. This one's a pass for me. I was not that interested in this one at all. And we also got a delay. Card Shark was delayed in 2022. Not a whole lot of time left in 2021, so I don't blame him for going the delay there. This one's also a pass for me, but I think that Ryan was interested in trying this one out when it does finally get that solid release date. But that's all the games that were announced that I found at least interesting in some way. What else do you want to talk about? Oh no, I could go a little bit longer. I mentioned I was playing Shin Megami Tensei 5, huge thumbs up there. I mentioned I was playing Death's Door, also a huge thumbs up. Maybe I don't have anything else to talk about. I'm going to start playing Fatal Frame again tomorrow. Really looking forward to getting back into that one, because I just finished off Final Fantasy IX. I went ahead and put the button on that one. I didn't do quite like the completion that I would usually do in a run-through of that game, but there's so many other games happening right now. I just kind of want to finish that one off. I'm still slowly plugging away at Majora's Mask. I am at the point where I can start the Stone Tower Temple whenever I want. That was a really complicated one. As many times as I played through that game, I've never really gotten a solid grip on that dungeon and really understanding the way it works, or at least well enough to where I can go in there and just kind of like muscle memory my way through it like I can with most of the other dungeons in that game. But yeah, like I'm surprised at how much that I forgot about Majora's Mask between like all of like my playthroughs of this game, because I was looking at my save files and I was like, okay, well I originally played it back in 2015 when it came out, and I played it again in 2019, and I played this game a ton back on the N64 and also the glitchy GameCube disc that I had for this one, and I'd gotten it down to where, you know, things were just kind of working in a pattern. I knew on what cycles I would want to do which things, and on what cycles that I knew that I just wanted to do like one or two things and then reset and start over. But like even really simple things, like things that, you know, you I would do like first cycle through as Human Link, like the cafe quest. I was completely lost with even how to start that one this time around. I must be getting old, because that one, you know, was one of the ones where I would know I'm going to start it on this particular cycle. I'm going to hit the major events, and I'm going to fan out and do some other things while I'm waiting for like the next appointment in that quest line to, you know, get as far into it as I can. But anyway, I'm rambling, so I think I'm going to wrap it up, because I don't have any other games that I'm going through that I haven't talked about already. So, next up, the three of us will be back with the retro show. We're going to do it. We are going to do some discussion about video games. We're going to talk about N64 games. We're going to take a brief look at, you know, the library of the N64 as we've discussed so far. Our thoughts on it will not be shocking to anyone. And then we're going to take a brief look into the remaining library of N64 games as they release in 2021, as we're building up toward the launch of the GameCube, which is very exciting. It's going to be great to move on to a new piece of hardware, and one that I think has a, let's say, wider breadth of content. And then we'll hit the new year, and I think we're going to break our cycle of show patterns for the new year, because we will need to do our look back at 2021 and grade the year. That's going to be a really fun show. And then we're also going to need to do, in a separate show, our preview of 2022 and talk about the things that are going to be happening there, because it's shaping up to be a pretty good year. But on that note, that's the end. Till next time.